hard because of her.
Shut your fucking mouth,
he says, and tries to push me with his other hand. I snatch his wrist and slam it on the wall above his head. His throat works, and he shivers against me. God damn, shivers. I'm going to devour him fucking whole and leave no crumbs. Your bossiness turns me the fuck on, baby, I murmur, my lips an inch away from his jaw. I inhale his scent deep into my greedy lungs. Clover, citrus, and fucking damnation.
Only Clara calls me that,
he mutters, seeming to fight, dig, and sink his claws into that control he loves so much. But you didn't get hard for Clara, did you, baby? I bite out, inching closer. I'm fucking intoxicated, struggling to stop myself from licking him like an ice cream cone. I can always test it real quick. My fingers slide from his throat to cup his jaw, my eyes zeroing in on his luscious, tempting lips. He shudders and drops his arm from my neck to shove it against my chest. Only it's trembling, like the rest of him, and he's not pushing. His Adam's apple bobs up and down.
Don't you dare.
Or what, baby?
Nikolai, if you don't stop, so help me God, I will.
What? You're leaving me in suspense again, baby? He swallows again, and this time I can't help it. I'm a fucking masochist who's hung up on this dick. Figuratively, of course. I dart my tongue out and lick along his jaw, all shaven and clean like the rest of him. He tastes of goddamn citrus, and I want to drown in it even if it stings. I was never good with self-preservation anyway. He shivers again like a leaf, his hand remaining on my peck. But now, he's digging his fingers in my skin, and I'm not sure if he realizes he's doing it. It's not enough. This is far from fucking enough. I need more and more and everything. I trail my tongue down the hollow of his throat and bite on his Adam's apple like I've fantasized. And fuck me, it tastes better than any fantasy. He tastes like my own downfall, and I'm ready to drown in it. A groan rips from Brandon's lips, and I pause, my chest expanding and my dick thickening against my shorts until I'm sure I'll burst. More. Give me fucking more. I slide my tongue back up to his chin, his cut jawline, and stop near his lips, mine hovering, my nostrils flaring, and my breaths coming out heavy and deep. His exhales match my own, distorted and chopped off, unorganized and completely out of fucking control, just the way I want him. I'm going to swallow those lips and feast on his tongue until he forgets all traces of Clara. His eyes widen as if he can see the intention, and he pushes me so hard I stumble back. I'm forced to release him, my body starving and needing more, 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 fucking more. His jaw ticks and his muscles tighten, and just like that, he slips back into the uptight asshole with serious issues.
I told you not to touch me, you disgusting prick!
And he fucking ruined it. I swing my fist back and then drive it into the side of his face. He stumbles, only held up by the wall, and I tackle him, watching in pure satisfaction as he topples to the floor, all haze leaving his face and replaced with pure confusion. I told you I'd beat you the fuck up if you said that again. Get the fuck out of my face, hypocrite. Instead of waiting for him to leave, I turn around and stalk to my room. My nerves pound, my dick hard as fuck, and my mind jittering with thoughts to go back there and pummel him. Fuck him right the fuck off. Straight crush is officially over.
7. Brandon. I'm fine, Mum. Seriously. I pinch the bridge of my nose as I stare at the canvas filled with sharp yellow while holding the phone to my ear.
Then let me see your face, hon.
Mum says softly, almost pleadingly. She's always pleading with me, my mum, imploring, asking, probing, and disturbing my routine. I exhale a long breath. I sound like a damn twat to the mother who only ever treated me with care, love, and understanding, And maybe I'm on edge because I don't want her to hate me. I hate me enough for both of us. You know I don't like FaceTime, I grumble, then try in a more cheerful tone. I have a school project to finish. I'll talk to you later.
Bran?
She stops, probably trying to choose her words carefully. She never has to choose her words with the family's golden boy, Lan. Apparently, I screw up everything, Mum's caring side included.
If you're under stress or anything, you know you can talk to me, right? Or you can speak to your dad if you prefer. We're here for you, whatever it is. You know that, right?
My chest expands with constricting breath, and I expel it out of my lungs, but it gets stuck in my throat. Pressure builds behind my skull, and I want to bang it against the nearest fucking wall. But I don't, because I'm in fucking control. Always. I know, Mum, I whisper back.
Listen, I know it's too soon to talk about this, but I think Grace might be open to take you next year.
I frown. Grace, Mum's agent, is not only world-renowned, but also a legend in the UK's Art Council, and even holds the position of a lady in the House of Lords. Despite her reputation, she has only signed 3 world-famous artists, Mum being one of them. Why would she want to sign me? I ask carefully.
Because you're a marvelous talent. I'm so happy you're finally getting your chance. I know how it must have felt to see your brother get all the opportunities this whole time, but you're as talented as he is, Bran.
You have to say that because you're our Mum and can't be caught showing favoritism. Okay, I say simply.
I love you so, so much, Bran. My life wouldn't have been the same without you.
Her words flood my mouth with nausea, but I swallow and smile, as if she can see me. I love you too, Mum. I hang up before she says anything else that will turn my stomach and send me rolling down the nearest cliff. My hand tightens around the phone until I think it'll break into irreparable pieces. A part of me is disappointed that it doesn't and remains intact, like my head. My gaze slides from the phone to the canvas. I started to have a vision, made a few strokes, then had to physically force my hand down. It was doing things my brain doesn't approve of and never will. I should be working on a landscape painting, but I couldn't bring myself to touch that. Instead, I was thinking of eyes. I don't fucking do eyes. Eyes send my head up a fucking wall. I stopped painting people and animals for that reason. I succeeded for years, but now, here I am again. My thoughts were running rampant, which is why I was thankful when I got Mum's call. But then not so much when I couldn't stop myself from staring at the canvas, even when I was talking to her. Things got worse when she could tell I wasn't myself. Not that I ever am. And she started probing and worrying. I hate it when I'm a constant cause of concern for her. It's the worst. My gaze falls back on my phone. My heart thuds when a new text pops in. But it sinks down so hard afterward when I see Clara's name. Fuck.
Clara.
Babe, I got your gift. Love the LV bag. It's so pretty. I already posted it on IG and tagged you. You're so precious handsome. Love you and miss you. Kiss. Can I come to hang out in your room tonight? I bought the sexiest lingerie. Winking emoji. Aubergine emoji. Splashes of water emoji.
My fingers are on autopilot as I type. Me. I can't. I promised the guys I'd spend time with them. I'll make it up to you another time.
Clara. Pouting emoji. Okay. Love you, babe.
Me. Heart emoji. My gaze remains fixated on the conversation, specifically on the last word she said. Babe. I didn't care for it until someone else said it, or a more intimate version of it. Now I fucking hate it. My finger is unsteady as I exit my texts with Clara and scroll down for some time until I find the name that I hate more than Baby. I click on the conversation that I started 2 days after he called me that, touched me in ways he had absolutely no right to, then proceeded to punch my face. Me. Hey, I wanted to apologize for what I said the other time. I really meant no disrespect, and I'm sorry if you got offended. Me. This is Brandon King, by the way. He read the texts, but never replied. That was over 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks and I still find myself checking in case I missed a text. Like now. What on earth is wrong with me? I just can't seem to stop replaying what happened that night. Over and over like a broken fucking record. Again and again it sneaks into my head and spreads on top of other thoughts like a special torture device. Every day I think of why I lost control so easily. I was cursing out loud, not once or twice, but several times. I snapped and growled and even used violence. But the most embarrassing moment was when he had his lips on my jaw and throat, licking and exploring. My skin caught fire, and I was on the edge of something nefarious. My heart has never beat as fast as when he bit down on my throat. And I groaned. Me. Brandon fucking King groaned because a guy was biting me. It was like existing in the skin of an entirely different person, as if I broke apart from my physical being and morphed into an alien entity. I hate that version of myself. I fucking despise it. But what I hate the most is what I said because I was so livid. I've never seen Nikolai as angry as when he punched me in the face and then tackled me to the ground. He looked down at me as if I were a pest he wished to squash beneath his shoe. The switch from flirtation, skin-licking, to downright violence gave me whiplash. Then I realized maybe he thought I said he was disgusting for being gay. I really didn't mean that. People being straight, gay, or anything else has never mattered to me. Hell, Eli Cray and Remy's granddads are the oldest gay people I know, and I've always found their bickering with Grandpa Jonathan amusing. I have nothing against gay people, but the truth remains, I'm straight. I can only be straight. The reason I said Nikolai was disgusting was because he kept touching me when I repeatedly told him not to. It was because I felt strange, on fire, and completely out of my skin. It was because he can effortlessly rip at my control and tear it to shreds as if it was never there in the first place. He clearly got the hint this time, so silver linings, I guess. I glare at the screen, then turn it black, throw my phone in my pocket, and pick up my palette and brush, then whip a few more strokes with red. I don't even like red. I'm a fan of cool colors, blue and green. But right now, I can't help stroking along the lines of yellow with red, giving birth to some orange. Hot. Fiery. Wild. So fucking wild, and everything I'm not. Art has always been my damnation and salvation. I have no clue what the hell I'd be without sketching and brushing strokes on a blank canvas. But at the same time, the extent it can go to scares the shit out of me. When I was 2, I was doodling small stars anywhere I could reach. The floor, with Mum's makeup on the walls, on Landon's forehead, chest, and back, while we giggled and hid away from our parents. Then those stars morphed into sketches of our family, small dogs and the cutest cats. Now, my artistic style has settled on landscapes, flowers, trees, seas, gardens, fauna. This is far from a landscape. My brain whispers, getting freaked the fuck out, but I can't stop. If I do, I'll have no other way to cope. I'll really have to resort to purging that ink from my veins. Again. Are you sure seeing the end result of this is safer than perching? My hand suspends in midair. The door opens and I startle, my heart lunging in my chest. Fuck, I forgot to lock the door. Lan strolls in, completely unruffled, comfortable in his own skin. Despite him being a bastard with not a humane bone in his body, a distant sense of comfort washes over me whenever we're in the same room. The sad truth is that seeing Lan's face is the only way I can see my face looking peaceful. We're identical twins, but Lan is a bit more muscular than me. His eyes are meaner too, and he wears this permanent provoking smirk. Despite having the same physical image, we're worlds apart. He's clinically diagnosed with narcissistic and antisocial personality disorder. I'm diagnosed with being fucked up. He's the charming twin, the one who everyone's attention flocks toward, the superstar of the King family, and the genius of contemporary art. He's everything, lumped into one supreme existence. All my life, I've watched him soar and fly toward the sky, while I've remained stuck underground. I mentally shake my head. I'm not doing this today. What are you doing here? I ask cautiously. It's not a secret that Lan and I don't have the greatest relationship. That happens when the person I always cared about labeled me as spare parts in his contacts. He meant it as a joke, and I reciprocated it. But it cut something inside me. The illusion that we share a bond, maybe. I can't come to see my brother. He slides a hand into his pocket, and I take note of his black trousers that are folded at the ankles. While we both dress elegantly, we have different styles. I doubt he has any khaki trousers or polo shirts in his wardrobe. What do you really want, Lan? You don't believe I'm here to check on you? He grins. I'm hurt, little bro. I'm not your little bro. I happen to be 15 whole minutes older than you. Deal with it. He ruffles my hair as if we're back to being kids, and I knock his hand off. I don't want to think of our once close relationship when I destroyed it with my own hands. Once upon a time, we slept in the same bed, and he told me everything. Including details I didn't care to hear. Then everything collapsed, my mind included. Seriously, what are you doing here? I ask, with more exasperation than I usually show. Might have to do with my exceptionally jittering nerves lately. I really just want to check on you. Mum sounded worried on the phone. I briefly close my eyes. I'm fine. Sure, Bran. If you keep telling yourself that often enough, you might eventually believe it. What is that supposed to mean? I narrow my eyes, but he's not looking at me. He physically pushes me out of the way as he stalks to my canvas. Shit. Fuck. Bloody fucking hell. Sweat trickles down my back as my brother looks at the seemingly haphazard strokes on the canvas. If it were anyone else, I wouldn't be so worried. But this is my genius twin brother we're talking about. The top dog of REU Art School, and the up-and-coming sculpting talent who's won multiple awards for his devilishly detailed statues. His head tilts to the side as he studies the canvas, and I want to jump in front of him and hide it. I want to soak it in black ink. But I don't, or Lan would sense something is seriously wrong. There are two things that scare the fuck out of me. My image in the mirror and Landon. This is fucking brilliant, he whistles. My chest squeezes until it nearly topples me over. Lan hasn't praised anything I've done in 8 years. His previous descriptions of my work have been scathingly critical. Severely mediocre, exasperatingly tedious, devastatingly unoriginal, exceptionally mind-numbing, disturbingly boring, Boring. 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 That's my twin brother, ladies and gentlemen. He pulls no punches in telling me how bad I am, compared to his otherworldly talent. It doesn't matter how much my world-renowned artist mum and the professors have liked my work. It doesn't matter how many awards I get for my technically superior nature scenes. Lan has never liked any of them. Not even one. It's just a fluke, I mutter, fighting my emotions as I step to the canvas, wanting to bring it down and hide everything it represents. For some reason, I feel completely raw and naked in front of him, like that night he hugged me for the last time. My brother clutches me by the shoulder and spins me around so that we're both looking at the chaos of red and yellow, the fiery explosion my fingers made in translation of the chaos brewing in my mind. If that's a fluke, do it all the time, Bran. Seriously, this is your best work in a long time. He squeezes my shoulder. I told you everything would get better if you stopped shackling yourself. I tense. No, I am still shackling myself. I can't stop doing that. I'm in control. 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 He turns me around to face him as I'm about to lose my fucking shit and spiral down that nasty road. His eyes are narrowed. Please tell me this isn't because you got back with Clara. What does she have to do with it? Sometimes I forget we're together. I keep making up all sorts of excuses to not meet at night, or even during the day, and send her designer bags and shoes as compensation. She's flaunting you all over her IG like an attention whore. Lan, that's so rude. Well, she is. A gold digger, too. He frowns. For the life of me, I can't understand why the hell you keep going back to the bitch. She cheated on you multiple times, and she's so toxic, it makes drugs look like unicorn rainbows. Very rich coming from the toxicity king. Ah, classic Bran move. What? Always deflect, little bro. Run, hide, and change the subject whenever it hits too close to home. That's working bloody wonders for you. I force a smile. If you're done, kindly get out. Lose her, Bran. I mean it. If the bitch hurts you one more time, I'll take things into my own hands, and we both know how that will end. And then he steps out of the studio. I continue watching the door long after he's gone. His words sounded like he cared, or like he was doing it for me. But no, Lan has always seen me as an extension of himself, so the reason he'd take revenge against Clara isn't for me. It's for him, so he won't look weak. My eyes land on the canvas and I groan. I'm so glad Lan didn't see a certain silhouette, but I do, clearly. In the middle of the volcanic chaos stands a figure, tall, muscular, and furious. My hand shakes as I run it over my face. Fuck. What the hell is happening to me? And how can I stop this? 8. Brandon. A week later, I go out to the local pub with my friends. Only so I don't get too stuck in my head and do something I'll regret. Chatter echoes around us as drinks are exchanged. We're seated at a big table in the middle, surrounded by smaller ones. A few older locals sit at the bar, discussing their crops as they down their daily pints. The small party is in full bloom, with Remy being a clown as always. He's bouncing back and forth with a drink in his hand as he verbally spars with our two childhood friends, Ava, who's about Glynn's age, and Cecily, who's a year older. My cousin Cray is also here, but he seems more preoccupied with his phone. Annika, the girl's new roommate and Jeremy's younger sister, tries to strike up a conversation with him, but he doesn't dignify her with a response. He's listening, though, because he looks up whenever she stops talking. I'm still a bit peeved about Aniko recently being added to the group. She's nice, but the fact remains that she represents the heathens, and there's often security detail outside every place we go. I'd really prefer it if the heathens were no longer shoved down my throat. One small problem, though. I've sort of become close with Mia Sokolov. Or she could be just using me to get closer to Lan, like all girls aside from Clara do. I like her company, and she games like a boss. So I guess we'll keep seeing each other for as long as she wants. At my place. There's no way in hell I'm stepping foot in the heathen's mansion again. Not after the last time I was there. Don't think about it. Stop thinking about it. It's easy to focus on the people around me, but it's still a struggle to be completely present. So I throw down my third drink, mirroring Glynn, who's sitting opposite me and who's also hell-bent on drinking herself into a coma. She just suggested playing Never Have I Ever in a very slurry voice. Maybe I should call it a night and take her back to the flat she shares with the girls. Only I really need to drink as well. A few more and then we'll leave. Remy holds an imaginary mic. I'll go first. Cecily flips her silver hair back and points an accusatory finger at him.
You always go first. That's right.
Ava puffs out her chest.
Glynn wanted this, so let her play first.
Play what?
I nearly spit out my mouthful of alcohol. It's not because of Killian, my sister's boyfriend, who just said that last sentence. Not even close. The hairs on the back of my neck stand on end, and while I can't see the entirety of him, I can make out Nikolai's frame standing close to Killian. His hair is loose, falling thick and smooth to his shoulders. This time, he's wearing a black tee and jeans that hang low on his hips. Although it's not exactly summer, he has no jacket. Full sleeves of tattoos extend from beneath his shirt to the backs of his hands. I can't stop looking at him. And the more I do, the faster my throat fills with that different nausea. The one that's overwhelming but doesn't make me want to hit my head against the wall. It's pushing me to nefarious ends, down unknown roads. Stop looking. Stop looking. I force myself to take a sip of my drink and focus on my sister, who glances up at Killian.
What are you doing here?
He pushes his cousin in front of him.
Nikolai was bored, so I took him out for a stroll. Eat shit, motherfucker. I'm not a dog. Also, he was the one who was so bored that he started vandalizing shit.
Nikolai says, then speaks to Glynn.
I was dragged out against my will because he refuses to admit he misses you. Semantics.
Killian says.
Can we join you?
All the rowdiness from earlier comes to a halt, and I can't help hearing the doomsday sound in my brain. Tick. He looks murderous. Tick. He's not looking at me. Tick. He is not looking at me. The upgraded nausea dies down, and I'm hit with the familiar feeling of fucked up Brandon in epic proportions. Black ink swells beneath my feet, and I feel my stomach churning.
Yeah, sure.
Ava replies.
The more the merrier.
Killian brings a chair over and sits beside my sister, and Nikolai flops down beside him, across from me. Only a table separates us, but he still hasn't looked at me since he got here, not even once. Killian and Glynn whisper to each other, and I know I should be looking out for my sister, but I learned that it doesn't matter what we think. She probably loves Killian. Lan obviously doesn't agree, and it's because he kidnapped Killian and tortured him that I ended up in the heathen's mansion. It's all because of him. Class act. Blame Lan. It's working bloody wonders, like he said. Killian finally stops trying to eye-fuck my sister and asks,
So, what are we playing?
Never have I ever, I say, not recognizing my voice. And Glynn will start. She raises a shot.
Never have I ever done something illegal.
Nikolai shrugs and knocks down a shot. My fingers tighten around my glass. Of course he's done something illegal. His existence itself should be illegal. He's so fucking infuriating. Why did he have to show up in my space again? Creighton downs a shot, seeming to have finished his obsession with his phone.
What did you do?
Annika asks, then swallows and stares at Nikolai.
Nikolai?
He looks at her and winks.
You know the drill.
I narrow my eyes as I stare between them. Are they a thing? Or were they? Good grief. Isn't she supposed to be his best friend's sister and barely legal? But then again, if all the posts he gets tagged in are of any indication, then he's often caught with both men and women hanging off his arm, and it's been going on for years. Not that I went there on purpose. My thoughts trail off when Ava takes a shot, drawing everyone's attention.
What illegal things have you done?
Ceci asks.
Sorry, bitches, there's no rule that says I have to explain. Should have said that beforehand.
Remy brings his shot up, then takes it in one go with an, ah, drugs, those nasty little shits.
Why aren't you drinking?
Glynn asks Killian.
Because I'm not admitting to doing anything illegal. My father and grandfather are lawyers, thank you very much.
That's not how it works.
Do you have proof that I committed illegal actions?
Whatever.
He whispers something in her ear, and she goes a bright shade of red. This is a bit uncomfortable to watch, but not as uncomfortable as the presence of the guy I'm trying to pretend isn't sitting next to Killian, who's still not looking at me.
Your turn,
she tells her boyfriend. He pauses, but only for a beat.
Never have I ever been in love.
Ava takes a shot, and I watch her with pity, my fingers trailing over my glass. My poor friend has had the worst love story to ever exist. Not that I believe in that emotion. After all, love is just an illusion made up by empty people who crave companionship. In reality, it doesn't exist. My skin prickles, and the feeling of being watched stabs me in the chest. I lift my head. And for the first time in weeks, my eyes lock with the violent twat who has no business looking at me with a challenge. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
The way I saw it, you got hard when you had your eyes on me, not her.
Those are the words that sent me into an epic loss of control. And for some reason, that foreign feeling is returning again. My muscles tighten and I snatch a shot. And down it in one go and suppress a wince against the burn. Nikolai's eyes explode in a myriad of violent intensity, and rage radiates from him in waves. It's suddenly hard to swallow, and I have to force down the need to clear my throat. Unfamiliar anger ripples through me as he continues glaring. What the hell did he expect? Why the fuck is he even expecting anything from me? Glynn raises a shot. But before she can drink it, Killian takes it for her and says,
You're drunk. I'll take your shots.
I don't need you to.
Swoon?
Annika fawns over them, a stupid grin plastering all over her face. She's 17 and skipped a school year to attend uni this young, right? I know Nikolai is only 19. Seriously, he's a kid. But he wouldn't have done anything with her when she is underage. Right? I mean, the age of consent in the UK is 16, but they're Americans. Isn't it 18 over there? Besides, he wouldn't have done that to his best friend, right? My throat constricts, and this time, I have to discreetly clear it against the influx of disgusting nausea. Right?
We need to take this game to the next level.
Nikolai holds out a shot, and I stare at him, my heart pounding so hard, I think I'll have a heart attack.
Never have I ever fucked or experimented with someone of the same sex.
He steals a peek at me and then drinks his shot. My heart thunders behind my ribcage, and my fingers turn clammy around my glass. Breaths whoosh out of my lungs in fractured intervals. Fuck, fuck, fuck!
Does a kiss count?
Ava asks him, and he nods, eyes on me. Stop looking at me. Just stop. I think I'm going to throw up in front of everyone and humiliate myself in the worst way possible.
Well, screw it.
Ava takes the shot. Remy gasps like a drama king. Oh, this bitch is really looking to get herself killed tonight. Killian raises a shot, and Glynn watches him with a questioning gaze.
Don't look like you'll faint, little rabbit. Do you really believe all those kinks were done with only women? I used to experiment a lot.
As he drinks, she also picks up a shot and takes it in one go. What? My sister did what?
Don't look surprised, killer. I used to experiment a lot, too.
I release a breath. Okay, so that was a lie to mess with Killian. She would have told me if that were the case. We're close. I think. At least I hope we are.
No one else?
Nikolai toys with his empty shot glass, shooting a provocative look in my direction. I stare at Remy and Ava bickering, then at my feet, and my focus stays there, looking at the ink swallowing my shoes. And yet I can feel his eyes on me, intense and unapologetic. Tick. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. Tick. It's game over, Bran. Everyone will see you for the fraud you are. A low humming sound falls from him, and I can't help stealing a glimpse as he shoves a cigarette between his lips and stands.
Fucking bore. I'm out of here.
I have to tighten my grip on the glass to stop it from shaking. My gaze tracks his nonchalant movements as he stalks to the exit, lighting his cigarette and releasing a cloud of smoke in the air. Instead of the ink retreating from around my feet, it swallows them up, then shoots up my shins and strangles my knees until that's all I can see and feel. Black ink. Fucking doom. My heart simmers down almost lethargically, and I swallow another drink to numb it.
Phew, that was intense.
Annika says.
Seriously, Kill, don't bring him next time. He's scary.
Are you sure it's not because he could snitch to your brother?
She laughs awkwardly.
Don't be ridiculous. I have nothing to hide from Jer.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask what she has to hide. Why is she calling him scary if they were together? Stop it. So, who's next? I ask in an attempt to ignore all the chaos.
Me.
Annika looks at Killian.
Never have I ever got my dick sucked.
That's a low fucking blow. Remy whines, but he downs a drink. Killian and I do so as well. Wait a minute. Remy looks at Cray. Why aren't you drinking, Cray Cray? Have you missed the never have I ever for this round? My cousin shakes his head and Remy throws his hand in the air. Then drink. Jesus fucking Christ, Spawn, please tell me you've had your dick sucked at least once. When Cray doesn't reply, Remy flops on his chair with more theatrics than needed. Oh, I think I need some medical attention. My own spawn has been missing out and I didn't know. I'm losing years of my life as we speak, I am telling you. What's so special about having one's dick sucked? Cray asks. What's so special about the sun? The moon? The ecosystem? I can go on forever. Jesus, Spawn, you're making me look like a bad mentor.
You are, though.
Cecily makes a face at him, and they all keep talking, bickering and laughing, having fun. I zone out. I laugh when they do, but I have no clue what's happening around me. A fog surrounds me and seeps beneath my skin until I can't breathe. I drink two more shots, but I'm not entirely numb. It's not enough. Nothing is enough. I can't breathe. Please, stop. I shake my head, trying and failing to shake away the black ink swelling inside. When Killian decides to take Glynn home, I wait a few minutes, then make up an excuse about feeling a bit under the weather. More like I'm crushed by my own head. I stumble out of the pub unsteadily, my head swimming and my vision blurring. I bump into a group of people and apologize, or I think I do, as I walk in a zigzag. The lights shimmer and turn into tiny bokeh points, moving farther and farther away. Like my fucking sanity. I used to pride myself on being completely in control about everything, anyone, until this motherfucker came into my life. And now I'm not sure how to get that control back. I need that control or everything will be over. Every fucking thing. I stumble into someone and step back on swaying feet.
Sorry. Watch where you're going, you fucking cunt.
The guy grabs me by the collar of my shirt and shakes me a few times, and I see stars. He sounds American. Fuck those guys. Why can't they just stay in America and leave me alone?
You better apologize, or I'll kill you.
He and his twin threaten. Oh, wait. It's triplets. It's the alcohol, isn't it? His friends try to disengage him from me, but he only tightens his hold until I can't breathe. I smile sweetly like the very good person I am, and then mutter, "Fuck you." He lifts his fist and I close my eyes. Maybe I need this, so I'll either pass out or finally snap the fuck out of it. I wait for the punch, but it never comes. The fingers disappear from around my throat, and I watch in complete horror as Nikolai drives his fist into the guy's face, sending him flying. Blood explodes all over his nose and mouth as he splutters on the ground, and then he lifts him up by his t-shirt and punches him again and again, then kicks him. When the others try to interfere, he drives his fists into their faces in a long succession of punches. He's in a frenzy, a craze. He is crazy. And yet, as I stand here, the only feeling that goes through me is resounding relief. He didn't leave. He came back.
9. Nikolai. This is definitely not what it looks like. I didn't hang out around the area of the pub, chain-smoking and contemplating how to pick a fight and punch some motherfuckers. Okay, I did. But the next part is definitely not what it looks like. I didn't beat these people up because a cunt happened to grab Brandon by his shirt or attempt to punch him, hurt him, right in front of me. Yeah, so I did drive my fist in Brandon's face the last time I saw him, but only I get to do that. Anyway, this bunch of assholes ended up being victims of my sour mood because they happened to be here, not because I followed Brandon like a creepy stalker or anything equally stupid. Okay, maybe I did, but it was only for 2 blocks. Maybe 3. Fine, 5. But none of that matters. The fact that I get to decorate my hand with their deplorable blood does. Fucker who caught Brandon by the shirt is now spluttering blood on the ground, half conscious, while I humble his friends. One of them ran away, but oh well, I have my hands completely full with the other two. I punch and kick them, reveling in the sound of bones cracking beneath my fingers. There's nothing I love more than having power over some cunts who happened to be in the wrong place at the very fucking wrong time. A red haze covers my vision as I go on and on and fucking on until they realize I might actually kill them. Great possibility. Then grab each other and flee the scene. They're limping, grunting, and cursing on their way to what can only be the hospital. Probably the police too, but I don't give a fuck at this point. In fact,
Maybe I shouldn't have let them go and introduced them to their maker instead. Red still covers my vision as I catch a glimpse of onlookers gathered around, eyes agape, and some of them were probably filming the whole thing, considering the phones. I flash them my signature, back the fuck off look, and they slowly disperse, lowering their heads and continuing with their debauchery. Now I have nothing to distract me from the actual cause of this damn ruse. I'd be lying if I said I haven't instigated violence before just because, but this time, it definitely wasn't random. It's because of the asshole I've been tracking in my peripheral vision, even while I was having my fingers soaked with blood. Usually I don't see anything through this satisfying red, but this time, I was more focused on Brandon and if he'd faint or escape. He did neither. The whole time, he stood rooted in place, his eyes wide, pupils dilated and lips parted. His gaze meets mine and remains there, not attempting to avoid me like he usually does. He must be so fucking drunk because he stares at me, mouth hanging open, without his dash of uptight disdain. Fuck this guy, seriously. I'm so over him and his perfectly pressed pants, tucked-in shirts and leather shoes. I'm over the way he looks to be in control but still appears hopelessly clueless at times. Like right now. His flawless golden boy image is cracked at the seams, totally because of the alcohol he kept chugging the entire time I was there, and a pink flush covers his cheeks. A few strands have escaped his styled hair, giving him a rugged edge. Rebellious. It's safe to say he's not caught under the rigid spell of his steel-like control, at least temporarily. Momentarily. I would have been all over that shit a few weeks ago, but now I have to remove myself from his vicinity before I finish off the night by punching him. He got on my nerves enough by doing everything wrong earlier in the pub, from the way he pretended I was invisible, to saying he'd been in love, to denying we ever did anything. Every fucking thing. Now I have to leave so I won't throttle the fuck out of him. This is why I've stayed away, why I've removed myself from any situation he's in or any environment where he can exist. I see him and I'm burning. The harder I've tried to stay away, the wilder my obsession with him has grown. I just can't fucking help it. When I brush past him, I stop and swipe two fingers beneath his jaw and subtly lift up, causing his mouth to finally close. Might want to stop staring or I'll think you have a crush on me or something equally crazy. I expect him to push me away, but the alcohol must have numbed his brain because he just stares, unblinking. His Adam's apple bobs up and down with a swallow, and did his breathing pick up just now? It takes me considerable energy to pull my fingers away, and that's when I notice I've left smudges of blood near his jaw. I have to suppress a groan at the sight, so I camouflage it with a smirk. Oops, got blood all over your shiny image. My bad. I don't even attempt to apologize as I wrench my eyes from him and continue on my way. I need to punch a few other things. Here's an idea. Force Jeremy to give me a mission where I can torture some people and put the fear of the devil in their souls. Something pulls on my t-shirt, and I frown. If one of those sorry fucks came back for round two, my thoughts trail off when I see two long fingers curled in the material so firmly it stretches beneath the pressure. I stare up at Brandon, and the way he looks at me does shit I definitely do not approve of. He's like a kicked fucking puppy, which is miles apart from his usual condescending asshole image.
Thank you,
he whispers softly, almost airily. Fuck this asshole in that deep voice of his. I have to get out of here. No, not have. It's a fucking need at this point, or I might really do shit I'll regret. And Jer isn't here to stop me. I didn't do it for you. I just wanted someone to punch and they happens to be there. I start to move again, but he tugs harder on my t-shirt. Now what? I snap. He needs to get his hands off me because it's giving me fucked up ideas, and none of them are things he approves of. Brandon swallows, and my gaze goes straight to his Adam's apple. He does it again as if giving me the show I want, then clears his throat.
Did Did you get the texts I sent you?
Yeah. So?
Why didn't you reply?
Why would I? Should I have rejoiced and thrown a party because the almighty Brandon King finally recognized my existence, decided I'm not disgusting anymore, and texted me? Get over your useless fucking self. His jaw tightens, and he releases me.
Don't be a dick. I apologize for what I think is a misunderstanding. I don't believe you're disgusting because of your sexuality. I would never think that.
Thanks for nothing. This time I'm hell-bent on leaving. Because unlike fucker Brandon, who can lie through his teeth during a useless game and keep his control in check, I have zero chill. And I need to go before I do something I'll regret come morning. I didn't even do regrets before the ill-fated meeting with this complete fucking charmer. Brandon steps in front of me, or more like sways since he's as drunk as a sailor. There's only a subtle slur to his words, though, as if he can keep control despite being pumped full of liquor. What the fuck do you want now? I sneer. You're uncharacteristically clingy tonight.
I want to ask you something.
Why would I answer? We're not friends or anything, are we, Lotus? I cut myself off before I call him that. Of course, the bastard noticed the miscalculation despite being wasted because his lips twitch. Jesus fucking Christ. I know I'm supposed to be mad, or keep up with the image anyway, but it's impossible to hold on to the anger I've left to fester when he's smiling. He is actually smiling, without faking anything. His lips curving, and his eyes softening. He looks happy when I could have sworn the asshole doesn't know the emotion. It's because of the alcohol, isn't it? Also, why the fuck does it ache behind my ribcage? Maybe I should have myself checked, because this shit is seriously disturbing. His smile disappears as soon as it appeared, and I want to shove my hand inside his throat and drag it out. Take a picture this time and keep it forever. Are you going to say something, or are you just going to stand there and stare at me like a creep? I ask, using the words he's often thrown my way. He purses his lips. Doesn't feel so good, does it, prick?
Just tell me. Did you have a thing with Annika?
What the fuck? She's like a fetus. I narrow my eyes. Why are you asking? You better not involve her in your stupid games, or I'll personally help Jeremy annihilate you. My blood roars at the mere thought of that. I still haven't even forgotten about Clara, and now he wants Annika. Nah, hell no. Fuck that. I'll strangle the fuck out of him.
No, no.
He says in a bit of a rush.
She's too young, and I don't like anyone who's barely legal.
His eyes shine brightly, and I get closer, trying to read him. You know I'm going to be 20 soon, right? That smile nearly makes another breakthrough, and I catch myself sucking in my breath to see it, but he suppresses it in a typical asshole move.
You're still way younger than me.
Way? It's only 3 years.
And a half.
And a half. Jesus. We're still in the same damn generation. You need to chill for a bit, my dude. He frowns, his lips pushing forward. Fucking adorable.
I'm not your dude.
And the grouchy Brandon King makes a stunning comeback. I shake my head. You just never disappoint, do you?
Well, maybe you should stop giving me all these nicknames.
Which one is your favorite? I step closer until I can inhale the whiskey from his mouth. But alcohol isn't the only thing I smell. I'm smothered by the musk emanating from his flushed, fair skin and the notes of clover and citrus in his damn hair. Fuck, his hair smells so good. Am I sure I'm not the drunk one? Apparently I don't give a fuck about my resolve because I whisper, "Do you prefer lotus flower, my dude? Oh, Prince Charming?"
None.
He says slowly, his eyes light and hooded as he stares up at me. Oh, right. I stand toe-to-toe with him and line my lips with the shell of his ear. You like being called baby. He trembles against me. Fucking trembles. Or maybe it's the alcohol and he's swaying, but I couldn't care less. I choose to believe it's because I've destabilized him. I choose to think he's not immune to my presence, and I'm getting under his skin as deep as he's penetrated mine.
He better be, or I swear to fuck I'll personally amputate Kolya for the inhumane abstinence he's been forcing on me for a whole damn month. I tighten my chest muscles for the punch or shove I know is coming and wait. Then wait some more. But it doesn't happen. I step back to find Brandon pulling at the hairs at his nape. Otherwise, he's completely still, like a robot, eyes staring at his feet, not blinking, not moving. Okay, I've seen my fair share of fucked up, but this vacant look in his eyes is fucking disturbing. What the fuck did I do now? Brand shakes his head and backs away, rocking on his feet. And I'm not sure if it's because he's drunk on the alcohol or something else. His hand flops to his side as he swallows.
I better go.
Sure thing, Prince Charming. Go back to your favorite hobby of running away. If you do that fast enough, you might reach your second favorite hobby, denial, in record time. His eyes shoot to mine.
Seriously, what the hell is your problem?
What's your problem? I invade his space again, my chest grazing his, and we both inhale at the same time. Why the fuck do you act as if me calling you baby is the end of the world?
Because you're not supposed to.
He whispers, his eyes blinking slowly, but he doesn't stop running them over my face. You need to stop looking at me like that if you don't want me to fucking devour you. He shakes his head once, but surprisingly, no words come out of his antagonizing mouth. But here's the thing. Brandon doesn't look away, and instead keeps staring, eyes hooded and lips slightly parted. Fuck this asshole. He's the most infuriating man I've ever gotten to know, but he's still the only one who started a fire at the pit of my stomach. The flames so wild they spread to my chest and fan my dick back to life. I'm so hard, it's fucking painful at this point, and I have to do something. I'm back to the hopeless stage of wanting a taste, a nip, a lick, anything. I'll take anything he allows me to have. Even if small, I'll fucking gobble it all down and store it in that nook inside me that's disturbingly filled with him. My hand bunches in his shirt, and I growl as I tug and slam him against my chest. I can feel the loud thump of his heartbeat as his eyes widen, panic glittering in their depths like wildfire, similar to mine. But there's something else a lot more potent. Now that his control has wavered, I sense an avalanche of impulsiveness rushing to the surface, and I just have to seize it, trap it, leave him no fucking way out. Just once.
Don't.
He stammers, both his hands landing on my chest as he searches our surroundings, which are full of drunk people, before he focuses on me again, his eyes a myriad of confusion.
Please.
Too late, baby. Using my hold on his shirt, I drag him into a tight alley and shove him against a grimy brick wall. He releases the most delicious, startled sound I've ever heard, and I'm done for. Finished. Absolutely jumping off a cliff, rolling and cracking a few bones and not giving a flying fuck because I have my prize at the bottom, him. My hand slides to his throat and wraps around his chiseled jaw, my fingers digging into his smooth skin. Brandon's eyes widen to a dark, hypnotizing blue, and he rewards me with another noise, low and fucking needy. I slam my lips to his, devouring that sound and swallowing it deep inside me. Fuck. Fuck me. Fucking fucker of all motherfucking fucks. He tastes like sweet surrender, all wound up and ripe for the taking. I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. I think I've found my new favorite drug in the form of his lips. I suck the lower one into my mouth, biting down on the cushion so he feels the pain as deep as I do. Brand shakes against me, his fingers fisting in my shirt, and I'm not sure if he's pulling me closer or pushing me away. I don't give a fuck. Tonight, I'm taking what I should have stolen that night I met him at the initiation, whether his delusional brain likes it or not.
10. Brandon. I've always prided myself on being in control. Everything has gone according to a plan, a schedule, and an end goal. Spontaneity and I fell out of each other's favors years ago, and I never reconciled that relationship. And I was okay with it. I am okay with it. Losing control once threw my life in a loop of chaos and fucking destruction, and I can't do chaos. Chaos is the source of all evil. Chaos would push me over the edge I've been walking for as long as I can remember. And yet, right now, I can hear the cracks in my wall. While small, their deafening sound resounds in my foggy head, and I watch with complete bewilderment as the control I've nursed for years collapses all around me, crashing, splintering, and leaving a Nikolai-shaped hole in the outer walls of my carefully curated self-preservation. I'm trapped, ensnared, and being held captive. I can't feel even a smidge of my autonomy or the logical thoughts that I usually wear like a badge. There's something else I do feel, though, or someone. His bruising grip on my jaw keeps me in place as he strokes my lips with his, harsh and unforgiving, demanding. He bites down on my lower lip, stretching the skin until pain explodes in the nerve endings and my heart thumps, pushing and shoving itself against my ribcage. I must be so hammered, because when he stabs his tongue against my lips, I don't try to resist or force my mouth shut. The scary thought is that I want to open. My blood buzzes for it. My unorganized thoughts tune in for the mere possibility of it. A feeling I've never experienced in my life. The moment I part my lips hesitantly, Nikolai goes feral. His tongue swirls around mine, warring, plunging, and stripping me of the last smidge of control I have left. A groan echoes in the air, and I realize with depleted horror that it's mine. His fingers dig into my jaw and he growls deep in my mouth, causing me to shudder. He tastes of lawless violence and forbidden temptation. He tastes like my custom-made damnation. My fingers glide up and I swear I mean to shove him away, put him back in his place, shout, "How dare you touch me!" But my hand wraps around his nape, and I free-fall headfirst into dangerous chaos, completely in the dark about what waits for me at the bottom. My tongue curls around his and I fight him for control, for the sanity that he's been stripping from me one layer at a time. His hand drops from my collar, and he slides it to my side, feeling and exploring my chest and back, and I can't help the hiss that escapes when he bites down on my tongue. It's like being kissed by a savage, a vicious barbarian whose sole purpose is to drag out the worst in me. My eyes flutter open, and that's when I realize I've had them closed since his lips claimed mine. I blink up at him, watching his own closed eyes and feeling that pit grow at the bottom of my stomach. Fuck. Fuck me. I'm not sober enough to resist, and hell, I don't think I'm only drunk on the alcohol. My nostrils flare, and I inhale sharply, filling my lungs with his mint scent. It mixes and swirls with the taste of alcohol, cigarettes, and something else that's entirely him. Masculine and strange. I want to think it's bad strange, but I'm far from being revolted. If anything, I've never felt trapped in a pleasure haze like I am right now. He slides his tongue out of my mouth